It's Friday, March 24th, 2017. It's time to hit the panic button, folks. The Sharks get destroyed 6-1 over the Dallas Stars, the team that's been made fun of having the highest paid goaltending duo with the worst bang for their buck. We welcome you to this edition of Technology After Dark, and we're here for you. This is going to be Sharks therapy, but we need to let this all out before we move on to Nashville. Boy, howdy do we. Nonetheless, if you want to be a part of the show, AJ, interact with us. Use the hashtag TechnologyAD. You can also join us in the YouTube chat or the YouTube page on the app. You have tonight at Eric Landy, at AJ underscore strong, at PuckGuy14. And nonetheless, we do this after every game. So make sure you subscribe here. And for more info and opinions, visit technology.net. You can also follow us on our social media channels, as you can see down below. With us tonight, hi everyone, I'm Eric Kura. You can follow me at Guy14. Also joining us tonight, fresh from his finals, it's Mr. Eric Landy.
Boy, I mean, go from, you know, freaking therapy session to a slap on the ass and get your ass in gear. I mean, it's horrible. We'll get into it, but yeah, they need an ass whooping.
And also joining us tonight, Mr. Tealerific himself, it is AJ Strong.
No, sir, I don't like it.
That's what I say. No, sir, I don't like it.
I don't like it either. I don't like it at all. Untricularity.
Hey, I don't understand it either. I mean, the laundry's there. I mean, I'm moving stuff around. I mean, I don't know. The feng shui is like off, maybe. Who the fuck knows?
Yeah. All right. We're going to talk about this game. Oh, my God. Dear God. I don't think we've ever had a massive blowout like this before, folks. So bear with us. All right. So, AJ, your initial take from tonight's game. Oh, boy, this is going to be interesting. Go for it, bud.
No, there's nothing to say. I mean, this is what, 5 in a row now?
Five in a row in regulation.
First time all season it's happened.
Four in a row was all first time all season.
Yeah. What can you, I mean, not to say that the show's over, but it's just kind of like, what can we say that hasn't already been said?
We can say that Winnipeg tied it up with Anaheim.
Oh, thank God.
But
thank you, Winnipeg.
I mean, you saw Pete DeBoer, like, just lose his shit on the bench, and that really didn't do much. This is a team that I don't understand why it's like in free fall right now. You know, if this happened in consecutive games to, say, Washington and Chicago and Minnesota, you could at least make the argument that the Sharks, they're being beaten by better teams. Dallas is not a better team. So this is dumbfounding. And let me ask, how'd that power play do tonight?
Hey, we got a power play goal.
Yeah, but we happened to let one in shorthanded wise. Just a quick note, I mean, for all of you stat heads and Darren Stevens lovers, who we love Uncle Darren, during this 5-game regulation losing streak, Sharks have allowed the game's first goal in each. In the first period, outscored 4-2 with an average shots on goal of 6.2 in the first period. 6.2 shots in the first period.
And the fact that they brought Ray Ratto on, how did he not, like, just start the post game going, just win the game? If you're the Western Conference champions, just win the game.
No, yeah. I said it at the very beginning, the most listless performance I've seen from this team all year. They literally went through the motions tonight. They had no heart. They had no mental fortitude in the game. They had their heads up their asses pretty much the entire game. You saw a little bit of life after the first goal from Jumbo, but other than that, they look like they want to go home. They look like they want to go home. They look depressed. They look like...
They sound depressed.
They sound depressed. I mean, Pavelski, we just watched his post-game interview. I mean, where's the accountability? I mean, where is, you know, calling out your teammates? Where is, you know, dragging this team through the mud when it really needs a kick in the ass? Because they've been coddled. You know, the first four games, Peter DeBoer is like, oh, well, we've been playing good, or, oh, we haven't gotten the bounces, or, oh, this and that. It's fine. It's time to own it up, guys. You guys have been playing shit hockey. You really have.
And this is not the time of the year to do that.
Well, I mean, we saw this exact thing happen last year, right? I mean, they go on a three-game or four-game slump right before the playoffs start, and look where they ended up. You know, you saw...
But at that point, they really weren't fighting for the division.
Right, right. I mean, the division had already long gone. But, I mean, Puck Guy kind of off-air said they pissed away a 9-point lead. I mean, tonight, if Anaheim wins, if they win, I mean, they'll piss a 9-game or 9-point lead in the span of a week and a half.
Didn't Anaheim, like, sneak in the back door last season and, like, steal the division at the end of the year?
Yeah.
They had that makeup game in Washington that was definitely the decider.
Oh, yeah.
If you're watching what I have screen shared on my screen, this is a screenshot that CSN just put up from the Fox Sports Southwest post-game show where one of the Dallas Stars players has conveniently worn a hat today in honoring of the San Jose Sharks.
Salt on the wound. But what are you going to do? A couple of quick hits from the chat. Our buddy Kuda Phil commenting on the nice dorm room that Landy has. Nevis asking me, what's in the cup? Well, of course, if you see that the color kind of matches, it's obviously a Sharkarita. So suck them up, kids.
Hold on.
I like Nevis asking, Landy, did your rage make you tear that Sharks poster off the wall behind you?
No, my girlfriend moving in kind of made me kind of start moving stuff around. So, you know, there's that. But, I mean, honestly, it's just, it's so bad. It's really bad right now. And I don't know what's going on with this team. I don't know what's going through their minds. You know, do they think that they're already clinched? I mean, they haven't. And nope. I mean, or do they think that, you know, Anaheim and Edmonton are magically going to let them win the division? Well, you saw from last year, it'll just be pissed away. So, you know, they're not making it easy on themselves. And right now, this is not the time to be questioning effort. It's not the time to be questioning system. I mean, it's really troubling. And then to add insult to injury or add an injury to the list, you have Marc-Edouard Vlasic, who we've now got to worry about again. You know what? This is a collective failing on the whole team. Goaltending aside, I think the defense, the forwards, just horrible. Just horrible effort tonight.
A quick quote from PDB after the game. That's a month's worth of mistakes in one night.
Oh, shit. I mean, hell, even coaching, I think, has a hand in this one. It's time to put Haley to bed. Really.
Can you give some background on what happened to Vlasic?
I just saw that he got checked out. I think it was halfway through the third period. He checked out off the bench, basically went to the back getting evaluated. They didn't really say anything else. It was a questionable return. So you know what that means in Sharks land. It means he's hurt and it's probably questionable for tomorrow. I expect somebody to come in for him or fly out somebody from San Jose tonight. Like we saw up in the chat, it's time to unpair the Joes. It really is. It's actually past time, and it's time to get rid of Haley off the off that fourth line. You consistently see fourth line matchups being deployed against them. They put fucking Jason Spezza, on the fourth line, and it ate them alive again. And you would have thought Peter DeBoer would have learned from his mistake the first time that they rolled through on Monday when they saw that that fourth line was outclassed. It happened again. Cracknell got a hat trick, for Christ's sake.
Yeah, but I'm not putting this all on Haley. I mean,
no, I'm not putting it on Haley. It's last time I looked,
But I'm just saying, last time I looked, the second line haven't scored in what feels like forever. The third line hasn't done dick.
Five on five. The second line looked the best tonight with Bodker, Marlowe, and Couture, and that's saying something because they didn't really play all that well. I thought Patty looked like the best forward tonight. I thought Dylan looked like one of the best defensemen tonight. I mean, it's crazy. I mean, when you have Patrick Marlowe and Dylan leading your defense corps and your forward corps, that's saying something. Yeah. Not something good.
And there were times in the first period that Dell basically saved these guys' butts. I mean, otherwise it could have been even worse. I mean, the first things first is that you had...
6-1 wasn't bad enough for you.
Well, hey, I mean, it started out like crap, too. I mean, the Sharks only had 4 shots on goal in the first period. 4 shots on goal in the first period. Unacceptable.
Mike Lee chiming in. Haley is the only guy to score tonight. Jumbo was an anomaly. He was trying to pass.
Well, that's the whole point, Mike. The whole point, Mike, is that he doesn't shoot the puck. He always passes it. And when he scores... he's passing it to the net.
Well, you know what? And it was good to see some life out of Jumbo. I mean, you saw after he got that goal, it's like, okay, time to put our heads down. And you saw the team respond, but it was a little too late. And honestly, after that period, they just slumped again. And heck, it didn't even last for more than, I don't know, 5 to 8 minutes. It slumped again.
Kurz and Pashelka tweeting out now, Vlasic walking out of the arena a bit gingerly, but seems okay.
Okay. I mean, you're going to get banged up through the games, but that's the last guy that you need to get banged up. And thankfully, we saw frickin' at least we saw Tierney come back after taking that rough hit. So we'll just, God, I can't believe we're going to break this down. Cracknell, his 8th goal in the year from Spezza McKenzie at 8:30, makes it 1-0. That's the only goal of the period. Like I said, Dell had some nice saves, including a breakaway on a defensive breakdown on Ben that kind of saved their meat early. Second period, it just started getting within 4 minutes and 10 seconds. I'm sorry, 5 minutes and 10 seconds. Brett Ritchie from Sagan and Ellie. Jamie Benn from Hemsky and Eakin, which was a beautiful face-off win.
Well, let's stop right there on that goal. On that goal in particular, Benn is completely alone at the side of the net, ready for a one-timer. Where's Brent Burns on that play? There. I mean, he's literally looking at Benn take the shot point blank on Dell. Dell does a good job pushing over. I mean, he almost got there. And to sum it up this way, I think it was a poor showing, a completely poor showing by the Sharks, and the Dallas Stars looked good. And it was just a complete overmatch.
Well, I think we'd all look good if we took like 3/4 of the season off.
And that's, I mean, when
the funny thing is that you look at the ice time tonight, nobody cracked the 17 minute mark for the forwards, which is a bit of an anomaly. That's the thing that does crack me up, is DeBoer at one point, to quote the lovely and talented Rocket backhander, at some point DeBoer said, fuck it. We're just gonna keep rolling, everybody. Who can? Obviously, we need energy for tomorrow's game versus the Predators.
Yeah.
So, you know, fuck it. Let's just keep doing whatever it is we're doing and just balance the ice time. It's I mean, Haley, 13:37. When was the last time you saw Haley, you know, crack 11 minutes? So right. clearly, it was just is it shit? And somebody in the chat, Nick Neff Tepitz, just bringing up the name Bodker. It's just so fun. Was Hansen back tonight?
Yeah.
Yes, he was.
Really? Because I don't remember seeing him all night long. And that's
there on the top line.
I know, but I'm just saying it's just this entire game, it just felt like empty sweaters out there for the most part. This is a sad game. In fact, before we came on, Landy was talking about that this, you know, worst game this calendar year. And it's... I don't get, like, maybe you can say, well, you know, short summer, they played a shit ton of hockey, obviously, getting, you know, going to game six of the final. Then you have a few guys playing in the world, that tournament.
World Cup of hockey.
Yeah, the World Cup, the tournament, and a compressed schedule, although everybody seemed to be fine during the bye week. But, I mean, hell.
Oh, okay. All right, let's kind of roll back and let's kind of get off the ledge for a minute and let's try and take some silver lining out of this. The last time the Sharks got beat this bad was Pittsburgh, right? And they got their asses in gear after that. So maybe this is the right effect or the right outcome at this point in the season to get their asses in gear and let's go. But I'm telling you, if they bring this level of effort against Edmonton and against Calgary and against Nashville, you can kiss the division goodbye.
Yeah, you're in a dogfight right now for the division. Right. I mean, right now as we record this, it's 1-1 between Winnipeg and Anaheim. Ducks win, they're tied, although we have the tiebreaker at the moment.
Rose, right?
Right. At the moment, it's Rose. But you have 8 games left. You have Nashville tomorrow. You come home for the Rangers for 1 game. Great scheduling, NHL. And then fly up to Alberta to play a back-to-back with Edmonton and Calgary, who most
one
likely
of them is going to be your first round opponent.
One of them could be your first opponent. The other one could be your second round opponent. And then you go on the road, then you finish it off with Vancouver, and then you play those same 3 Pacific Division teams again. And now all of a sudden, those games mean something. And they can mean either your first, second, third, or wild card. And at right now, do any of us believe that if this team falls apart and keeps going, that it finishes a wild card and congratulations, you're going to get Anaheim with home ice or Edmonton with home ice?
At this point, I'm even looking at Calgary and saying Calgary is an upstart team that's ready to take on a team like the Sharks. I mean, it's starting to look like 2009 all over again. Like you were saying, Eric, it was just that President's Trophy. The Sharks were riding high. You know, they come in, you know, thinking, "Hey, our shit doesn't stink," and then they get decimated in that first round. Eric, go ahead and bring us all up to speed. Now that CSN's kind of off, and we'll get back to the scoring.
Yep, we welcome those of you who finished watching post game live to Pucknology After Dark. I am Puck Guy along with Landy and AJ, we do this after every game, so please make sure you subscribe down below or to the side and hit us up on the Twitter machine. So as we continue on here, after that third goal where Ben just, you know, completely in dress as Brent Burns, you saw PDB go off, pretty much go off like we've never seen him go off before. Took the timeout and said, let's go. And that follows up by nearly a minute 49 later by Cracknell's second goal of the game from Spezza McKenzie. 4-0. At this point, you're just hoping that they make it close. 49 seconds later on the power play, Joe Thornton passed it to the net from Burns, And that's the lone Shark goal of the night. And that's how the second period ended, with a 4-1 Stars lead. And of course, the Sharks were on a power play, and you know, they get a power play goal, and then they give a power play goal, unfortunately, as Cracknell, let's put it this way, Dell did his greatest version of Archer's Urbe and passed it up a little too far up where nobody, in no man's land, Cracknell comes in, skates in, wide open, beautiful shot. He completes the hat trick, unassisted, shorthanded goal. Then to make it even worse, 21 seconds later, John Klingberg finishes it, 6-1, your final. The Sharks have now lost 5 in a row.
It's compounding a season-high 4-game losing streak to now a season-high 5-game losing streak. Yep. I think for me, the most disheartening thing about this loss is how quickly those goals came, one after another after another. And it was just a complete defensive breakdown. And this stat is really, really shocking for a team that is as good defensively as anyone in the league. I think if it were me and if I were coaching, I would have pulled Dell after that third goal by Ben, you know, because no goalie should be left out to dry after this kind of support. Even if you are going to play Martin tomorrow, you still, I still don't think that you leave a goalie to that kind of shit show when your forwards are just not playing for him.
And that's the point, is that, I think it's mainly because they're playing tomorrow in Nashville that Dell stayed in there. And for that matter, Dell has saved our butts all year. Unfortunately, you know, he gets lit up tonight. 6 goals on, let's see, how many shots? Why did this move?
On
29 shots.
Yeah.
They were outshot 29-21.
That's another thing, too. You're getting your ass handed to you, and you're only able to get off 21 shots. And that's the other funny thing, too, is that we've seen during this streak of consecutive losses, the Sharks, somebody found the smelling salts with 6 minutes left, and they start, like, just pouring it on. Dude, you're getting destroyed. Where was something different? Instead, they just went into it. They fucking turtled tonight.
Yeah, they really did.
For me, this is probably the... hold on. Quick glance at the schedule. Yes. Worst game of the season. None.
That Pittsburgh game was pretty
hold
high
on. Okay, yeah, that Pittsburgh game was pretty bad up there. Dude, that Pittsburgh game...
They got
their ass kicked by the Stanley Cup champions. Tonight, you got it handed to you by two goalies that have the worst save percentage in the NHL.
Yeah, I mean, you're right. You're right. I mean, you're totally right. I think it is the worst. I think, let's just say the Pittsburgh game was probably the most disappointing. This is the most frustrating. This is the most frustrating loss of the season. So, you know what? We've bitched and complained. Now let's kind of think up some ideas. Let's start now being
Burns to forward.
Oh no.
I swear to God. Really.
Hold on. Hold on. Hey Rocket, what do you think about Burns to forward?
Oh god.
Would you like that? No? No? Okay.
let's start to think about this, because I mean this team's running out of time. I mean, it doesn't have much tinker time left.
By the way, sorry to break in. Anaheim up 2-1 now.
I saw that too. I mean, I think it's time to pull Joe Pavelski off the top line. You put him on the second line. I think it's time to bring Timo back. Put Timo and Jumbo and Hurdle together. You basically give 2 battering rams to Jumbo and say, Jumbo, I dare you to try and shoot on goal. I think, you know, you put Logan and you put Pavs together with Marlowe, and then third line, I mean, you got to. I mean, you got to go with Bodker and I guess Donskoy. I don't know who you'd want to center that line.
I've honestly fucking had it. The next game, I say the top line is Haley centering Dell and Jones, and Burns plays goaltender. That's it. If I could drop this mic right now, I would.
Do the Sharks have a designated emergency goaltender on the playing roster?
Yeah, Burns.
Oh, is he?
No, I'm fucking with you.
Yeah, I don't know. Somebody's saying call up LeBanc. Maybe it's time to call up LeBanc. I mean, I like Timo because he's a shooting machine.
They're cooking out of that in Barracuda, by the way.
A guy who's played like 40-something games this season is not the answer to solve this fucking riddle, dude. The answer's in the room. The answer is in the fucking room. These guys need to just look into the fucking mirror. You know, if you're tired, you know what? Then tell your coach you need a fucking day off. Tell him you need a maintenance day. You need a mani pedi at Santana Road. You need fucking Sunday fun day.
Well, you get a mandated day off. I mean, one of those days they had to have a day off week. So
it just goes back to a time just watching these last five games. I thought the Sharks had like pushed through this. Eric,
yes,
I know that you completely remember. I want to say 08, 09, somewhere in that area, where this team had a ridiculous amount of talent and their heart was constantly questioned at every turn. You thought that last season really kind of finally put that to bed, and then you see these last five games and you just look at it and you go, what the fuck are you guys doing? I mean, you're getting pyloned by fucking Dallas. And hell, you know, hey boys and girls, speed kills. I guess you didn't learn anything from that series against Pittsburgh. If you're going to play these speedy teams, you got to play heavy and you got to hit people and dish it out. That's how you're going to slow them down. Even in this one, the Sharks led in hits 24-17, but man, you got to play a heavy fucking game, man. Owen Nolan needs to come in here, and Richie needs to come in here and show these guys what the fuck is up.
Look, I mean, you saw it last year. You saw that this team got burned by speed. What do you go and do? You go and sign a player that you wonder about his heart. I mean, that was always a question with Bodker. He's speedy, but he's kind of an enigma. And, I mean, I don't know. I don't know what the thought process was behind that. But you're starting to see that this team is getting burned by speed again. Again. And what is the way to combat it? Like AJ said, hits and speed. And you know what? If you're not doing either, you're going to get burned again. And they're getting burned again.
And see, the thing is, you know that Thornton, Pavelski, the big names, none of them are going to get sat. Because I mean, why would you? They're the big names. They make the big money.
You don't you don't deserve to get sat right now. You haven't clinched anything.
No, I'm not talking for that reason. I'm talking about for not fucking showing up. I mean, maybe you can sit Bodker or Donskoy or fuck Hansen. I mean, if there are guys, maybe you can sit them and you can give a look to O'Regan or Carpenter or hell, even call up a player or two that hasn't been called up so far this year that's doing well. Hey, what did we call up Goldobin? Oh, never mind.
The two guys that are going to be prime suspects for me to be sat, and I love him to death. I have his poster back there somewhere. Hurdle. And Donskoy, what have those two done since coming back from injury? Nada.
All I can see is laundry, man. I don't see any posters.
Right, it's back there somewhere. I mean, honestly, you know, the kids And heck, even the older players need to know that there is some kind of repercussion. And, you know, right now they don't feel it. And that first power play unit has not been broken up. It goes through fits and spells. It needs to be broken up. Well, Peter DeBoer needs to do some soul searching, and he needs to figure out whether or not he's going to be the player's coach, or is he going to be the coach that this team needs right now, which is to start breaking things up and to start getting on their butts even more. Because right now, Joe Pavelski's not doing it. He's depressed Pavelski right now. He's not that fired up Pavelski that we saw, you know, in the documentary Road to the Stadium Series.
The other thing too is there is no oomph. And AJ, you hit it right on the head about 08-09. They backed into a playoff spot. They backed into winning the division. They backed into having a top seed in the West. They backed into freaking winning the President's Trophy after such an crazy, amazing start with McClellan at the helm.
And then Anaheim pulled their pants down and smacked their little ass.
That's what it is. I mean,
we saw this last year in the playoffs too, and I'm surprised nobody brought it up. But against they had almost all they could handle against Nashville, and they almost lost that series.
Well, except for that goal that should have counted by Pavelski.
Okay, minus that goal though. I mean,
They did minus that goal.
but I'm just speaking. If we just wipe that game completely off the slate. That team pushed the Sharks almost to the breaking point. And it really showed them that, look, your game has to evolve. The LA King model of winning is not going to win you Stanley Cups anymore. I mean, just look at them now.
Hashtag speed kills.
It's becoming a young man's sport, and it's becoming a quicker sport. And the Sharks have the personnel to do it. But it's whether or not they're going to deploy that personnel in the correct spots. And right now, the coaching staff doesn't seem to want to do that.
Well, here's the really fun part about this. And give me a second, because it's going to take me a minute to get this out. But here's just the real rub on this whole thing. The Sharks get reverse swept. Then they miss the playoffs. And they go to the final and they come damn close. I mean, damn close. Did I not say give me a minute?
I'm just saying that game six could have gone either way, too.
It could have. It very easily could have gone seven. And who knows if it goes seven. But here's the thing. That reverse sweep... And then the following year, we all remember the implosion after the consecutive wins against Anaheim, LA, and Chicago. But they had that implosion. They missed the playoffs. And a lot of season ticket holders said, fuck this, I'm out. And it didn't help that the Warriors are up the road starting to win shit and doing it well after
they just happened to win a championship.
Yeah, just happened to win a championship, not to mention the fact that what brought on a lot of that, they completely overhauled ownership in the front office, you know. So and they were able to flip that around pretty damn quick. So last season, there was a lot of empty seats in the first half of the season. And yeah, Teal Fever caught on a little bit as the season progressed, but you have to remember, this is San Jose. We've seen this movie before, several times. And then once it's like, oh, got to the third round, it got to the fourth. And they even sold a lot of season tickets for this season so people could get tickets for last year's playoffs to get into it because they caught Teal Fever. Well, look at how these last five games have gone. Definitely not trending the right way. If the Sharks... get bounced in the first round, which is not outside the realm of possibility by any stretch of the imagination if they continue playing like this. If they were to get bounced in the first round, you've got people that bought season tickets for this season just to go to those Stanley Cup playoffs last year that had no desire whatsoever. They probably went to like 5 or 6 games and that was it, and then they just tried to sell them off. You know that they're not renewing. The Sharks are raising ticket prices next year. They're going from, what, 16 different price points? They're doubling it to like 32 different price points.
It was more than that.
All these different tiers. I know there's a thing in biz journals, but I thought I saw 32 different price points. Seats on the glass that were like $130 are going to be $300 a game. And these are all seats, you know, these are in the first 3 rows up against the glass, conveniently where the camera will be catching most of that. I'm just saying, I'm a little nervous, boys. You know, at the front office, I love you guys, but I don't know that this is the right time. I know you're trying to, capture lightning in a bottle, and you know, this is the time because they won the Western Conference last year, but and not just the regular season one, but I think there's, you know, Rocket and I have gone to several games this year. And even though it says, thank you for another 17,562 sellout crowd, and we're looking around, yes, as we know, Eric and I have a friend there that will tell us that, you know, she knows for a fact those tickets are in fact sold. And I get that, but it definitely doesn't help when there are people at the game who look and see empty rows. They're sitting in 9th row on the upper deck, and they're seeing empty rows in row 9, you know, 9 rows from the glass. And I'm not talking a couple pockets. I'm talking like an entire fucking row. And I'm just telling you, it's going to be real interesting to see how the next 3 weeks of Sharks hockey and into the playoffs happens and how that impacts what happens next year. It's going to be a real, real fun to watch that.
And, I mean, to me, right now we are at a pivotal moment in the season, like I pointed this out last year, where this team can go one of 2 ways. It can either have its leadership core come out and really, you know, show what they're made of, and guide this team back into the playoffs, get it back on track, be the team we know it to be, or it could go south. And we know that when this Sharks team goes south, it goes really south. Now, luckily, you know, as far as the pipeline goes, you have a lot more there that, you know, you could plug in next year, and that you could have that natural roster turnover, and it might be okay. But still, If we go down doom and gloom street where it's first round exit and then things start to happen, you know, it's anybody's guess as to what happens next year. So really, this team is not only playing for this year's pride, but it's going to set up what it's going to do eventually down the road. Because let's face it, how many more cracks and more kicks at the can are Jumbo and Patty going to have with this team?
If they are going to have one,
if they're going to have one, I mean, we know basically even after all of our bitching and complaining, this team will make the playoffs this year. I have no doubt about it.
We hope.
But how good a shot is it going to be for those two? And if they get bounced in the first round, I guarantee you one, if not both, are not coming back. So it really,
you guaranteed it, folks. You guaranteed it. Get your bets in now on the chat.
It's gut check time.
We're paying even money here at Pucknology. Get them in now.
And you know what? Maybe Patrick is right. You know, maybe it is the only kick at the can for Jumbo and Patty. I don't think so, because I still think that the defensive structure of this team is still good enough to get them to the Western Conference Finals. Once you get there, if you run into Chicago or if you run into Minnesota or God knows who else, I mean,
the last Canadian team.
Yeah, it's jump ball. It really is. But I still think that this team has enough structure to go that far, but really it is gut check time right now. Now is the time to start the playoff engine to say, hey, you know what? We've got to lock it down. We've got to go into playoff mode now. You've got to basically LA Kings this bitch from 2012, where they just lock it down and they go. They got to start playing that now.
The problem with this is I feel like Wilson has, to a certain extent, tipped his hand and has painted himself into a corner. We know that he loves to hand out no move and no trade clauses like they're candy on Halloween, and that's been a significant problem. But this is Patty and Joe's contract year, and it's been fait accompli that we're not going to talk about it until the off season, there, buddy. And that's all well and good, but the problem is they're done. I hate to admit it, Patty and Joe are fucking done. And if you're not get something for the and the problem is that Wilson has not adhered to the Bill Walsh philosophy of it's better to lose a player a year too soon rather than a year too late.
Or Sabian, you know, up the street, same thing.
Yeah, so it's Thornton and Marlowe. I mean, if obviously you can't because of the goddamn no trade, no move clauses, but it's time to let those guys go and move on to the next phase. But the problem is, you're not gonna fucking get anything for them. Nothing of really true value. No. You're not.
And I mean, look, I mean, it wasn't like they were gonna, cut bait with them at the trade deadline. Anyways, that was not an option because this team. It was going on a roll. They were not going to do anything. This was going to be the outcome. Whether or not you agree with it or not, that was just how it was going to end up being. So this is the way that it was going to be. And like I said before, there are two distinct paths. You either suck it up. You say, hey, you know what? We're still leading division. We have a tiebreaker. We'll have games in hand. You suck it up, you win tomorrow. I don't care how you do it. Just do it somehow.
We all know Pekka wants to chop a tree.
And you go back to San Jose with your tails between your legs, and you go and you figure shit out. And they had this scare last year too, which is what still kind of gives me hope. You know, I'm not there in the Patrick M, ready to like really go down doom and gloom street, but this, like I said last year, that pivotal moment. This is that pivotal moment in the season.
Have you been drinking?
No, I'm just really fed up, and I'm trying to be articulate.
No, yeah.
He tried to say pivotal twice, couldn't get it out either time.
I get both your guys' frustrations, and I think I don't want to say we speak for the entire fan base, but. The problem is that when these guys get down, they get down. There's a psychological factor that's been with this team for a very long time. I mean, it's where, we saw in 2007 where Detroit, they were about 30 seconds away from going up 3-1 on Detroit. And then all of a sudden, one bad bounce and all of a sudden it's doom and gloom and they do not recover from it. Same thing with 2009. Same thing with 2014. We thought we saw them get out of this in 2016.
I think we're being remiss in not placing blame in where it really belongs. And that is the fact that Brody fucking Brazil took all week
That's
off.
Right.
And look what has happened.
Hashtag blame Brody. Let's just get it going now.
And I took posters down too, so I'm wondering if maybe that's got some bad mojo on it too.
You can see I've changed nothing. I don't know what the hell happened.
Ian brings up a great point. They went out, or they go, let's say they have 8 games remaining. Let's say they go 6-2 and they win the division and everything is all honky dory again. It's just the right scare at the right time. And we've seen other Stanley Cup winners before have this. But this is that time that they've got to figure it out. I mean, it's literally, this is this is last minute preparing for that final. You're either going to say, screw it, I'm not going to prepare for it anymore, I've done enough. Or you say, you know what, I'm going to take that last day, I'm going to take those last 2 days and cram the rest of the stuff that I can into this time.
Hold on, just let me interject really quickly. Rocket, if you could let everybody know what this is, because we're seeing a lot of people on the chat asking about it. This is a Sharkarita. It's a tequila, blue carousel, lime juice, some sort of juice and lime. Look at the chat. Rocket will post the necessary ingredients and the recipe, but there you go.
And you know what? Like I said, maybe this team got complacent after that 9-game or that 9-point lead. I think that's what actually happened, is that I think you got both the flu bug coming in and the team got complacent, because we've seen this team get complacent before. And it's your usual suspects. It's Jumbo. He gets complacent. I think Burnsy got a little complacent. And to be honest, I think Pavs did too. And, you know, I was hearing Paul Martin, he was saying, hey, you know what? We haven't won anything yet. You know, you see some of the kids sometimes, but honestly, this team collectively needs to go, hey, we still have a realistic shot of winning this division. We need to find it in ourselves to actually get up and go. And there needs to be some tweaks on the lines.
Yeah. Go ahead.
I don't know how much more you can tweak these lines. I mean, between the injuries and everything, it feels like they've been tweaked enough. If anything, I feel like they need consistency, and I'm still going to, everybody knows I love my power play drum, but I still like my hurdle at forward with the Joe's drum, because it fucking worked for quite some time. I know he was given time up there and it didn't click right away, so of course everybody wants to abandon it. I still think Hurdle has been very good at the wing position, but you know, they're wedded to it, and
Ian brings up a good point. Burns isn't complacent. Other teams just realize his shooting lanes are, and they have not changed it up. But no, that's also Burns not choosing his shot selection differently.
That's exactly what he said. Burns isn't complacent. Other teams just realize what his shooting lanes are, and they have not changed it up. Let me phrase this just a scotch differently, and I think you'll hear the exact same words. The Sharks are complacent. Other teams have realized what they do on the power play, and the Sharks haven't changed it up.
Exactly. That's the problem right there, guys, is that nobody can tell what's going on. They'll rim it around. It'll be to Joe. Joe will try to look for Pavelski in front for the one-timer. Doesn't get it. He'll throw it to Burnsy. Burnsy will try to get a quick wrister on net, hopefully either Pavs tips it or it goes in, and then it gets around. Then they'll set it up again. And that's the problem. It's complacency. It stays the same. And here's something I'm going to ask, guys.
Can we talk about Hockey Jerk for a second?
I guess.
Hockey Jerk saying, remember how good Marlowe was at third center?
Hold on.
But you can say the same thing about when Pavelski was at
third line center.
And that was a great point, because I wanted to bring up last year, when did the tide turn? It was when Marlowe was center, and it was when you had that four-headed Hydra that was Thornton, Couture, that was Couture, Marlowe, and Tierney.
And I said this a few shows ago, where I was like, put Hurdle up with the fucking Joes. Move Marlowe to center of the third line. Put Hanson on the second line.
Or put Donskoy up there, because Donskoy needs a spark. Or put Bodker up there. Whatever.
Donskoy is just horrible.
The problem is, guys, outside the top four goal scorers, and we've mentioned this before, way before even Kurz mentioned it the other day. Outside of the top four scorers, who's the number five goal scorer on this team?
It's Melker Karlsson.
It's Bodker.
Yeah. Oh, Bodker now.
Yeah, okay. It's Bodker. And Bodker, not to mention the fact that Not to mention the fact that call it now. Granted, there's a couple of guys that are like right on the cusp of scoring double digit goals. The fact that the Colorado fucking Avalanche have more double digit scorers than the Sharks, that says a lot. Now maybe that helps Burns get the Ross or I'm sorry, Hart. Not the Ross thumbs. Yeah, the Hart. But still, boy, could you imagine what this team would be like if Burns had not had the year that he's had?
No, it would have gone south really quickly. But I mean, you've got four players on the cusp of 10 goals. And I mean, that's just nice distribution, but it's just not enough. It really is not enough. And when you have Pavelski, Logan, Patrick, and Brent, your usual suspects scoring, and you don't have anybody else coming along, that tells me it's secondary scoring as well. And what was it last year that got us bounced? It was speed and secondary scoring.
And the most fucked up thing from this whole deal is, would you not say that on paper, this is a better team than last year? On paper.
Yeah. No, I would agree. I would say it's,
you don't have Roman Pulock on the team, it's instantly better.
You have a quicker blue line. You should have had a quicker, more skilled forward line. That, and literally those two things were what did the Sharks in the final.
Like, please don't tell me that we were pinned all our fucking hopes on Nick Spaulding and Roman fucking Pulock. But the fact of the matter is on paper this should be a better team, and they're not.
And you know what? I mean, Patrick, he loves to rub it in, but I mean, nobody could have seen this precipitous drop off of Jumbo. I mean, we saw him declining, but we didn't see this kind of fall off the cliff kind of decline from him. Patrick Marleau's kind of bounced back, believe it or not. And you know, Joel Ward, again, I mean, he took a really big dump, you know?
No, look at Hurdle. Hurdle, my man. Granted, injured for like half the season, but I love that kid. He goes through little spurts where he looks good centering that third line, and then he goes through long stretches where he does not, like, he is, like, it screams out, put me on the wing with the Joes, that's where I have success. But nope, they're wedded to that. Okay, fine. But either way, you look at, I'm sorry, like, was Nieto and Wingles the key to this whole fucking thing? I don't get it.
No, I think, but you bring up a good point. I think Wingles was a big part of the leadership core. I mean, because he was, you know, he's a very stand-up kind of guy. He tells it like it is, and he's one of those people that is just, he's one of those ones that when the shit hits the fan, he tells it like it is. And I want more tell it like it is guys than sugarcoaters. And I think right now, Joe Pavelski is doing quite an impression of Jumbo where it's a sugarcoater.
Hold on. You want tell it like it is guys? Who is a tell it like it is guy?
No.
Logan. Logan is,
well,
is.
Well, then chances are he's going to end up in Edmonton because we all know what happened to the last guy who told it like it was.
The Sharks have actually, this is how bad it's gotten, folks. An hour ago, the Sharks have actually put out the recipe for their Sharkarita.
And they did it wrong. It's you have it, it's a little too sugary. It needs some limeade. It needs a, trust me, Rocket fucking perfected it. If you're in the chat, you didn't catch the first go around when she posted it. I'm sure she'll post it again if we ask her very nicely. Rocket fucking perfected.
They didn't include the triple sec, Rocket is saying.
That too. But I'm telling you, the key to it is the limeade. You need something with just a hint of carbonation, whether it's like a little splash of grapefruit soda or something. That's the key. It has to cut through that tartness.
Rob is saying DeBoer is mismanaging Hurdle. I don't think it's just DeBoer. I think that's a mandate that comes down from Doug.
Exactly. I think that's more than anything. That's the organization trying to push him to be the center, and because he was
drafted specifically to replace Jumbo. That was why he was drafted.
Which is why they keep pushing him to be a center.
Right. Right.
So
because they wanted a guy with size. They wanted a guy with hands. Now, well, Hurdle was not a playmaker.
Yeah, but they specifically drafted Petrecki to be a defenseman. We all know how that ended up.
I'm just saying, like, even when you go back and watch Hurdle's drafting, you hear Bob McKenzie say he was drafted to replace Jumbo. Jumbo is not getting any younger. This is why he was drafted. And believe me, when Bob McKenzie speaks, you listen.
Ian Reed saying, how good is Hurdle on the wing without Jumbo, though? I completely agree, but how good would Chichu have been without Jumbo? How good would Nils Ekman have been without Jumbo? And there's a few people you could say that about. I mean, Jumbo
Mark Bell.
Is,
oh, wait, my bad.
Yeah, not Mark Bell.
Oh, and Laurel wins the chat tonight with, well, we all want a guy with size and hands.
Then why did we make him president?
Moving on, as we go around the league.
Sorry.
Four games tonight in the NHL. In Pittsburgh, the Islanders, thanks to John Tavares, win in a shootout 4-3 over the Penguins. Oh, gosh. Poor thing. You know what would have been bad is if Sidney Crosby was suspended for that game for a slash.
Ooh, but that was crazy.
But it's Sidney Crosby. He can get away with anything. That's another rant for another time. Moving onward, Tampa Bay in their final trip to the Joe beats the Red Wings in overtime 2-1. The Red Wings are virtually done. They will miss the playoffs for the first time in 25 years.
Hello, dead things.
And currently in the third period, Winnipeg on the power play. They are down 2-1 to the Anaheim Ducks. Very key note there is if Anaheim wins, they tie the Sharks in points for the Pacific Division.
But I think the Sharks have more.
Rose.
Thank you.
Well, great segue, guys, as we get ready to take a look at the standings. We'll first begin in the Pacific Division, where the Sharks currently sit at 91 points, followed by the Ducks at 89 with 36
Rose.
And which is the same amount that the Oilers have. The Ducks, of course, currently working on their game in hand. Calgary idle tonight. They're sitting at 86. So they're hanging on to that wild card, although they're in pretty good shape now. LA's trying, keyword trying, to claw back into this thing. They're at 77. Vancouver and the Desert Dogs are now eliminated from contention in the Stanley Cup playoffs.
It's almost like the Sharks feel bad for LA because it's like, hey, we're not going to play them in the first round. Like, they should be in.
They're thinking, well, who are we going to play in the first round now?
Mike, you really gotta stop with the PDB wife thing. Really?
Yeah, no, let's not, guys, let's not. The Western Conference race as of this moment, you have the Sharks at 91, Ducks at 89, Oilers at 89. In the Central, the Hawks have just virtually put the division away, along with the top spot in the West. So NBC, I'm sure you're happy. Minnesota at 94. St. Louis at 85. And for the wild card spots, you have Calgary at 86. Nashville, the next opponent for the Sharks, which we'll get to shortly, at 85. Kings are at 77. They need an absolute collapse for them to make a run now. Winnipeg at 73 is all but done. And pretty much the next point that Nashville gets, maybe happens tomorrow, will eliminate the Dallas Stars from the playoffs. Vancouver, the Desert Dogs, and Colorado have been eliminated. So that gets you matched up into the Western Conference playoff race. Of course, our favorite thing, if the season ended today, at the moment it would be the Sharks and Flames, Ducks and Oilers, Preds and Hawks, Wild and Blues in the West.
2007, your playoffs are calling.
Can I just make a quick correction?
Oh, go ahead, Mr. Strong.
You just said your favorite thing, and I'm sorry. When it comes to the favorite things, that can only be followed by one noise. Just saying. Rocket knows.
It's time to go around the horn.
Oh, I like jerking it with hockey jerk myself.
If you guys don't know what we're talking about, check out the Pecknologists on our audio feeds, whether that's SoundCloud, iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, TuneIn, you name it, it's on there somewhere.
All right, Eric, take us home.
Well, we're going to talk about we got to set us up for the massively big matchup that is the Sharks and Predators tomorrow.
But I don't want to.
And for those of you who don't know, there is a team in San Jose heading towards the playoffs that actually look pretty fucking good right now. They do wear teal.
And they are affiliated with the San Jose Sharks.
Yeah, they occasionally wear orange. That part I don't care for.
Traffic cone orange, to be exact.
Did somebody say
Barracuda?
Somebody say Barracuda? Eric, please say it correctly.
Barracuda.
And dude, you mentioned all I can picture. Do you remember that meme? Or actually, not even a meme, a GIF. It was from the outdoor game. And it was some kid, like, who was it? I think, like, there was a team, like, taking their team photo. And one of the opposing...
And Lanny McDonald slides by.
And slides across. As soon as you played the Barracuda theme, I pictured, like, Ian Reed just sliding across. Like, just sliding right into this conversation. He's like, did somebody say Barracuda? And
absolutely.
I was waiting for him to like look for the link, and he's like, "Where is it? Where is it? I must speak about the Cuda."
The Ian Reed bat signal.
And now we must. I fucking knew it.
As soon as I said bat signal. It's perfect. As soon as I said bat signal.
Oh man.
Joining us now, it's Ian Reed. Set us up for the Barracuda.
Christine says, "Dad."
So the Barracuda, they have back-to-back games against the Tucson Roadrunners this weekend, both in Tucson, if I remember correctly.
Oh, okay, good. Okay, good. I thought you said Tucson.
Yeah, whatever. Tuscan Roadrunners.
It's pronounced Tucson.
Tuscan Raiders.
Yes. Yeah. Back-to-backs this weekend, not home
back-to-backs.
And homes.
No, it's back-to-back in Tucson, both playing tomorrow. I believe tomorrow night is a normal time game for that area, and then it's an afternoon game on Sunday. I don't remember the exact times.
Yeah, 7:05 and 4:05.
There you go. So Barracuda got back Daniel Regan, who was sent to Allen.
What?
O'Regan was like sent to Allen.
Dude, as like the plane was leaving Dallas, they said, "Oh, just drop him out there."
Pretty much. I think they left. Oh, apparently it's a home and home. All right.
Did they push him out the door of the airplane with a parachute and be like,
I think so. Hi. And they just kind of dropped him in Allen, and that was that. Yeah, I guess they left him in Allen just in case they needed him for tonight's game, but they didn't, so they sent him back to they send them back to the Barracuda. I'm sure he's probably flying home with the team tonight. Or they probably send him to Tucson. I don't know.
It's not a home and home. Both games are in Tucson.
Oh, my God. Patrick M., Tuscan Raiders ride single file to hide their offensive ineffectiveness.
Oh, all the Star Wars geeks thought that was hysterical. Everybody else on the chat going, "The fuck is this guy talking about?"
Right. May the force be with you.
No, yeah. That's the whole thing. People, I guarantee you, there's one or two people in the chat going, "Raiders, I thought their name was the Roadrunners."
So Regan's going to be back. I don't know if Yevpilov is going to play. I know he sat out last game. I believe it's a head issue.
A conky?
Unfortunately. Yeah, it could be. Gallant's gonna sit out because he's suspended for his flying clothesline, which is awesome. Go find Zach's timeline and go find the gifts from that game. It was such a bloody game. And I'm not sure about Clifton. I don't know if Clifton's landed yet. Usually the Barracuda are good about tweeting, you know, picture like, hey, look who's here, blah, 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 blah. But they did sign a deal with Noah Rhodes, so he will be coming over as soon as he gets his immigration stuff worked out, which will be the end of April, if Hansen is any indication. So, yeah, I mean, it's going to be interesting going forward, seeing what this team can do.
Well, will Donald Trump let him into the country is the question.
I don't know. I don't know. Is Switzerland a Muslim majority country? No,
dude, I don't think so. Oh my god, I so want to sing this just for Gen X. I love him so much. I want to sing it. I see it in the chat. You guys get it, right?
Oh yeah.
Oh god.
You get it. You know, it's funny. Hello, Reagan is in Allentown. Where the Sharks always send offensive help down.
That's true. I thought
Winnipeg's on a power play.
Oh, Jesus.
They are. There's 9:43. There's 45 seconds left in the power play.
That's strong. You'll be seeing him at Bimbo's tomorrow night.
We know that Winnipeg won't do us any favors.
No. No, I wish I could tell you what, just because Phil in the chat's asking about the fluffs. I don't know. I've kind of tried to poke around, but
conky.
I hope not, but potentially. I know it's an upper body.
Conky.
I've heard it might be his head, but I don't have any official anything.
It's not officially unofficial.
No. Yeah, it's officially unofficial conky.
Okay. He's had conky still before, right?
Yeah, this would be definitely concerned. It sucks because Yevplov's actually, you know, he's another guy who's had a really, really good year today.
Today?
He's had a really good year today. Just today, though.
Okay.
He's been really good this year, though. Like a really, really come around from last year where he, you know, spent some time in Allen. He was actually in Allen for their Kelly Cup run. But he's been really good. Kind of. Yeah, I mean, he's never going to put up the numbers that he did in the queue, hashtag queue stats. Yes. But, you know, he's been kind of a Swiss Army knife. You can kind of plug him in anywhere, and he manages to adjust to the role he's given. So I've been really impressed with Yevplov's.
Yeah, and you know what? Just on a quick word on Noah Rhodes, I think he plays a similar style to Hansen, and I really do like him. I think he's going to be a good addition to the team. And what's AJ cracking up about
it? No, because Gen X is saying boring. When does football talk start?
Well,
Winnipeg does not score on the power play.
Hey, get it right. It's left. Baseball talk, and because opening day is Sunday.
And give it up for Mike Nevis. He says, Mike Nevis in the chat says, make it official. The bet is over. Release the curse. I, right there with you, bro. Just me, you, and Chris will just all just pay for our own, and we'll just pick a time to go have some beer. And that'll be, so Mike Nevis would officially like to call off the bet. I'm right there with you. That's perfect. There was one other thing on the chat, but of course, people like all of a sudden, and then I...
And I lose it. All right, yep. I'm done.
And it's gone.
Bye, Dad.
Bye. I'm going to stand here and just sit here and loom at people.
Dude, he's going to be like just total Trump in a debate. He's just going to wait for somebody to say something, and he's going to go, wrong.
Yeah, that's exactly. And I'm going to make faces the whole time.
Speaking of things our president has said, we'll refer to this tweet from 10 days ago from Mr. Kevin Kurz. Hopefully this doesn't come back to haunt me, but me thinks the Sharks basically clinched the Pacific Division tonight.
This was also the same gentleman, though, that basically guaranteed that the Sharks Connor McDavid's first playoff series would be against the Sharks,
which is still possible. But he tweeted this about not even an hour ago, where he retweeted himself and said hashtag fake news.
Yeah,
wrong.
And yeah. You know what? Never mind.
Sharks making the playoffs right now feels so many, as safe as the healthcare bill getting passed.
I just that already got shut down. I do this show without a teleprompter.
We all do a show without a teleprompter.
Fuck you guys.
Screw you guys.
Poor Cuda Phil. He says, hey, don't let two or three people in the chat room discourage you from talking about the Barracuda because they are the future of the Sharks. They are, but we save that for Barracuda After Dark. This is Pucknology After Dark. Just saying.
That's true.
Well, so then if it's Pucknology After Dark, that means it uncovers all of Pucknology, no?
What would he say? Here's a good one for Ian. If the writer's room ended today,
who would be your first round opponent?
Fuck that guy.
All right, Eric, we're clearly off the rails. I mean, do you want to just...
But you know what? It's one of those rare nights. It's a rare Friday night game.
Well, that's true.
We have a whole lot going on the audio stream this weekend, so...
Rob is asking for Alan Americans After Dark.
No one gives a shit about the ECHL.
All right. Well, the Sharks lose 6-1 to the Dallas Stars.
A pilot trying to drop a player off.
Well, yeah. And they do if you like are Eric, a has-beener and never was, or you're just Daniel Regan who got stranded for no reason.
All right. It out, and me and Ian will do After Dark.
Stay tuned for the link, Nader.
Oh, goody. Well, the Sharks lose 6-1 to the Dallas Stars. To quote Jamie Baker, tonight was a team fail all across the board. The Sharks will play tomorrow against Nashville. We'll be back with you following that game. For the love of God, please let this streak end because...
No one wants to see me cry on air.
Yeah, no. No, we don't need to see that. So, for Landy, for Ian, for AJ...
He doesn't speak for me.
Dude, the Sharks could have broken a Ouija board tonight. So you're talking about failure across the board.
All right, Eric.
Sharks lose 6-1 to the Dallas Stars. We'll be back with you tomorrow night, hopefully.
After we lose to Nashville.
Much positive outcome, I hope. Until then, keep it real, keep it tight, and keep it real tight. And one more comment from the Sharks coaching staff.
Playoffs? Don't talk about playoffs. You kidding me? Playoffs? I just hope we can win a game.
Dude, hold on.
Good night.
All right. Let's Cam Ward. No, it wasn't Ray Ratto, and we need to Cam Ward this bitch tomorrow.